Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I warmly greet you on this 4th of July weekend and welcome to worship this morning. Today is going to be a real treat. We have one of our lay speakers bringing the message to this morning. It's a great joy to have Bruce Stark preaching the word today in worship, so look forward to that as we get later into our worship service. It is a great joy to be with you, and I would like to invite you to share this worship video to encourage other people to find their way into a spiritual community, to find a church home that they might like to get rooted in and connected in. And at First United Methodist here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake, we would love to be that place of growth, a place of discipleship, that place to connect with other companions on the journey of life and faith together. So take a moment, share this video. You never know how it might reach somebody. Go ahead and share this video on social media. And then take a moment to visit our website. And as you visit it, a couple of things to highlight. One, fill out the connection card that helps you get better connected to the life of the church. And then another thing is check out our children's ministry page. So if you have children, grandchildren, neighborhood kids, invite them to Vacation Bible School. Check out our page and learn more about the details of Vacation Bible School. It's August 3rd, 4th, and 5th in the morning from 9 to noon. You can register online. There's some other fun things happening in children's ministry coming up. We have a splash night coming up July 15th. We're doing some fun Sundays at the park where we gather and enjoy some fellowship time. So anyway, check out our children's ministry page. Lots of fun things happening. We also have summer youth group going on for our middle schoolers and our high schoolers throughout the summer a little bit. So check out our student ministries page. And make sure to share the video. Well, we are so glad that you are here in worship, a time where we can sing praises to God together, a time where we can find opportunity to pray together in community and feel the power of the Holy Spirit with us, and an opportunity to hear a great word this morning from Bruce Stark. So again, welcome to worship. It's great to be with you. Happy 4th of July.
Alabaster cities gleam undimmed. by human tears. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we lift up our gratitude for the free will you give us, and we thank you that we are all equal in your eyes. Help us to continue to create a society amongst ourselves where people are free and equal. Help us to answer when you call us to love others as you have loved us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture today comes from Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, lie down again." The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. God is good all the time. Amen. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us by name. Amen. I was born in the mid-50s, grew up in the 60s, in a middle-class neighborhood with Northwest Detroit. Lots of families, lots of kids running around. I was the usual kid for the area and for the neighborhood. During the summer and on weekends, we'd go out to a friend's house, never knocked on anybody's door. We'd always stand outside the side door and yell, "Hey, Chris!" And if he was there, he came out. If he wasn't there, you just heard a voice from inside, "He ain't here." Well, that was pretty normal. You didn't ask no questions. You didn't ask where. You just got on your bike and you rode off to the little park down at the elementary school. With or without him, riding my bike to the school, we go there, play ball. He would show up, maybe, maybe not. We had lots of friends that we would play with. I used to play baseball. I was pretty lousy. I played right field, counted the dandelions a lot. I was a little bit better at football. I was a little bit bigger than a lot of the kids. I could throw a block and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. We never played soccer. Nobody in that time played soccer. We weren't even sure what soccer really was. But there was the time that you had to listen for a call. This was my first time to listen for the call, and the call was from my dad. We would be at the park, which is about 3-4 blocks from my house. And when my dad wanted us to come home, wanted me to come home, he'd whistle. And everybody in the neighborhood knew whose dad was whistling. So while we were playing, if you heard your dad whistle, that was it. You grabbed your mitt, you grabbed your bike, you grabbed your ball, whatever you had, and you headed home because you knew it was time he was calling. If it was some other dad whistling, you knew that too. "Charlie, your dad's whistling." Okay, Charlie jumped on his bike and Charlie went home too. No questions, no answers, just got on your bike. And if he didn't whistle, you knew that when you're at the little park playing that you had to be home when the streetlights came on. I'm pretty sure that most of us remember that time. And if you were late getting home or took you too long, you didn't hear the whistle, or you knew when you got home if you were in trouble or not, because they always used your middle name. You knew that if you heard, "Bruce Alexander, where have you been?" that you were in trouble. But you also knew that when you were called, you answered. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Samuel, and it's about Samuel's call. Backstory about Samuel. I suggest that you read 1 Samuel chapter 1. Today's reading came from chapter 3, but if I would suggest you read chapter 1 and get a little background on it too. I'm going to fill you in a little bit, but it's really some good reading and you'll enjoy it. Samuel's father Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children and Hannah did not. Peninnah used to hassle Hannah about her inability to bear kids. At that time, it was almost kind of like you were no good if you couldn't have kids. It was kind of like that was the normal to raise a family. And Hannah couldn't raise kids. Peninnah had kids. So Peninnah used to pick on Hannah all the time. Elkanah loved Hannah very much, though, and he felt sorry for her. He felt bad that she couldn't have kids. When he went to the temple and they sacrificed a bull, there was always food for everyone, and he'd always give Peninnah food for her and her kids. And he'd always give extra portion to Hannah because he loved her so much, which really aggravated Peninnah even more. Peninnah did not like the fact that he was treating Hannah better. And she used to give her a hard time for it. Peninnah would hassle Hannah all the time. Hannah felt very bad that she couldn't have kids. So she would go to the temple and she would pray. And one time when she was at the temple, she wasn't eating, she was crying, she was praying. She says, "Dear Lord, if you could only give me a son, I swear that I would turn my son back over to you. If I could only bear a child, I would turn that son back to you." And the Lord heard her prayer and gave her a child. The child was Samuel. Samuel was about 3 years old when Hannah took him to Eli, who was the high priest of Shiloh. She left Samuel with Eli because that was her promise to the Lord, that she would turn Samuel back over to him if she gave her a child. After that, the Lord found favor in Hannah and gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord, and he lived in the tabernacle with Eli. Many believe that Samuel was about 12 when the Lord called. It took 3 calls before Eli realized that it was the Lord and told Samuel to answer him. "Speak, your servant is listening." Eli didn't realize it was God until the 3rd time. And if Eli would have known, he would have said something to Samuel, but he wasn't sure. If Eli and Samuel can miss out on calls like that, it seems natural that we might miss them too. We know many stories about the call of God. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Jonah, Noah, the list goes on. But are these the only ones? Or are these the ones that we hear about most because they made it into the Bible? When we read the Bible stories, we find out that many of these people never felt qualified to answer the call, but God called them anyways. Many are called, some answer. Many people from our church, right here at Brighton, have been called into ministry. Pastor Bob Fuchs was a CPA for many years before answering the call to ministry. During that time, we spent many weekends together going to lay servant classes. Other members of the church went as well. Bob answered the call then, became a local pastor, was our associate pastor here at the church before going downriver UMC. We were blessed to have him. And after a few years at our church, he was reassigned and went there. Susie Hutchinson, a child of this church, a former employee, and a member of our congregation for years, heard her call. And she was just ordained as a UMC minister in the last few weeks. And she's now serving at Plymouth United Methodist Church. Sue Patu was a retired middle school math teacher from Howell before becoming a deacon at Cass Community Services in downtown Detroit. She said her call was to feed hungry people. Now she's at Cass and that's what she does. Ann Birchmeyer was the youth director here and was called into ministry, is now the pastor at South Rockwood and Willow Churches, also in the Downriver area. My daughter, Jessie, she has a degree in music education. She could be a band director in pretty much any high school in the state. But while she was at Central, she discovered His House Christian Center, and she started getting involved with that. While she was there, she started to hear her call. She found out that she was called to do God's work. As opposed to being a band director, she wanted to work for the Lord. So she ended up, when she left Mount Pleasant. She ended up going to Ypsilanti. She was working at his house for Eastern Michigan and University of Michigan. After that, she moved up to Sault Ste. Marie, and she was working with Lake Superior State through his house. Now she's back down in Mount Pleasant. She's back at Central University. Now, his house is not affiliated with any of these schools, but they work closely with the schools so that they can work with the kids from the school. And that's what Jessie feels she's called to do. She's very happy in what she's doing. The list goes on. Bob Miller, Dan Phillips, Brian Kilpatrick, all members of our church that heard the call and answered. And I know there's a lot of names that I've missed, so I apologize for those that I did. But there's people from our church that have answered the call to ministry. And I know that there are many other people here that have also answered the call. But in order to answer the call, you don't always have to leave our church. We all have gifts that God has given us to serve. God calls each and every one of us to use those gifts in his service. Our church has talked before about spiritual gifts. We have folders in the back of the church, folders that you can fill out, and it'll tell you what your spiritual gifts are. There's about 40 questions there. You answer the questions and go through, and it'll tell you how to answer them, and then you add up your scores, and it'll tell you what your spiritual gifts are. There's also a place on the church website where you can go and you can find your discipleship gifts. There's two different ways you can do it, and there's other ways you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. I strongly suggest that you get one of these folders. Stop by the church and pick one up. They're in the back. They're on the table. And you can fill one out. Now, once you find out what your spiritual gifts are, you can let the church know what they are, or you can just keep that information to yourself. If you let the church know what they are, when something comes up that follows along with your gifts, the church will know to call you. But there's also, if something comes up that's not in your spiritual gifts, they'll know not to. Or you can just keep this information to yourself, and when the church asks you to do something, you can just go ahead and say yes or no. My spiritual gifts are faith, hospitality, and help. Well, hospitality, I'm sure you've seen that in the church, I wear my name tag upside down. The way I started doing that probably 10 years ago. And at that time, I used to call myself the unofficial self-appointed hospitality chairman. And anytime somebody came up to me to tell me that my name tag was upside down, I basically would know that they were new because I've been doing it for so long. And that I would go ahead and walk them around, introduce them to people, and then just talk to them. Sometimes it turned out it was just somebody that I hadn't met at church, but more often than not, it was somebody new telling me it was upside down. My other spiritual gifts are faith, and I like to believe that my faith is strong, but it's also help. Well, I own a small moving company, and I've been called on to help several times for people moving things or, you know, use my trailer to help things. And that seems to be one of my gifts, so I go with it. Sometimes we miss our call because we don't recognize them. The quiet little voice that God uses to speak with us sometimes goes unnoticed or unheard. Sometimes we think that the things that are happening are just a coincidence, and we let them go by not thinking that it's God trying to give us a message. Albert Einstein noted, coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. Sometimes it's just a feeling that we have that we should be doing something, but we miss it because we're just too busy to notice. Matthew 25, 14 through 30 tells the story of a man going on a journey, but he calls his servants and entrusts his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another one, he gave 2 bags of gold. To another one, he gave 1 bag of gold. The first 2 men took their bags of gold out and they made them work and they doubled the amount that he had given. So when he came back, they gave him the double amount back. Both of them were rewarded for the work that they had done and that he was happy with them because he took what they gave him and they increased it. The third man was scared. He was afraid to lose the money. So what he did was he buried it. The man came back and he says, I gave you this money. He says, you could have worked with it. You could have made money. He says, you could have made money for me. You could have made money for yourself. He says, but I was afraid. He says, well, the least you could have done was put it in the bank and made some interest, but you didn't even do that. I believe this story is talking to us about our gifts, telling us that we need to use our gifts to help serve the Lord. the one thing that this story doesn't touch on is, what if we use our gifts and we fail? Well, that's the nice thing. God is there to pick up the pieces. When we fail, sometimes God is always there. When we fail, God is always there, and he will help us pick up the pieces. So, what are your gifts? Are you using them? When God calls, are you listening? Do you answer the call? My challenge to you today is to find out what your gifts are, and then use your gifts to serve God, to serve your church, and to serve yourself. I challenge you to use your gifts as God wanted you to. God has given each and every one of us gifts. Fill out one of the forms, find out what your gifts are. You might already even know what your gifts are. You know what you're good at. You know what you're not good at. I definitely wasn't good at right field. When I played baseball, I was lousy. I'd stand out in right field to pick dandelions. My gifts fall other places. Find out what your gifts are. One of my friends told me, if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we know that you're calling us on a regular basis. Sometimes we hear, sometimes we don't. We hope that we have the ears to listen for that quiet little voice, that slight little nudge, the things that can bring us to you and that can show us what our gifts are and show us how we can help the kingdom of God. We ask at this time that we open our ears and hear your call. We open our hearts and feel your love, and we open ourselves to your call that we may take that call and help others in our day-to-day lives. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. As you can see behind me, I have a prayer quilt that was done by the Prayer Quilt Ministry some time ago. Today we'll be giving away another quilt, so if you could just bow your head and pray with me for a moment. Dear God, we will lift up this quilt for your blessing. May it be a blessing to him as he wraps himself in it. May it also be a reminder to him that he is loved by us and by you. God, we send our prayers out for healing and for peace. Let him feel the power of those prayers, and may it bring him closer to you. And now will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Lord, you call us in the stillness of the night, when we are lonely and afraid. We are grateful for your call. Lord, you call us by name before we were even born. You call us beloved, your children. You call us blessed. Lord, you call us, but we don't always hear. Lord, you call us, but we don't always want to listen. Lord, you call us, but sometimes we're not sure it's us you want. Lord, you've called so many people over the centuries, people who thought they weren't worthy of your call. You've called the least, you've called the broken, you've called the sinners and the saints. Lord, we know if you call them and say they are worthy, then we know we are no less worthy of your call. Lord, you call us to feed the hungry. We know there are so many living in food deserts who are going hungry to feed their children. Lord, we answer your call. Lord, you call us to take care of the poor, the needy. You have given us the resources. We will answer your call. Lord, you call us to love each other. We know there are those who feel unworthy of love, and there are those who have made it difficult for others to love them. Lord, we will answer your call. Lord, may we take your call and be filled by it so that we may be a blessing to others. Lord, may our leaders near and far hear your call and use it to be a blessing to those they lead. Lord, we know as you call out to us, you are also listening for our call. In this moment of quiet, hear our calls of joy, hear our calls of sorrow. We reach out to you now. Lord, we are grateful for all that you call us to do and be. We are grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you called to lead us and teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we come to this time of our worship service, it's often when we pass the offering plate, when we're physically in the church sanctuaries together. We pass the offering plate, and when you look on it on the inside, it has the United Methodist cross and flames, and it gets passed down the rows between church members and visitors. And some people put the little offering envelopes inside. Other people place a check-in or some coins or some dollar bills. And it's a part of worship, something that we do every week. Well, when we're worshiping online, we don't pass the offering plate back and forth in the same way. But as we worship online, we still have an opportunity to participate in the act of worship, of giving, by going online and giving, or mailing in our offerings to the church, and or stopping by the church office and sharing your offering in that way. You know, this is so much more than just a plate. It's so much more than just a ritual of something that we pause and do in the service. For when we share of our offerings in worship, it's that opportunity to invest in hope. It's that opportunity to invest in joy. It's an opportunity to invest in God's love and God's grace, made visible, made real, comes forth in tangible ways. It's an opportunity as an act of worship to be a part of the mission and to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so we pass the offering plate down the rows in worship, and we place our offerings in. And online, we invite you to give in those ways, knowing that we give not because we have to, not because we're required to, but we give because it's an opportunity to say thank you to God and to partner with God in the amazing things that God's doing in this world through the church. So I invite you now to be a part of that, to be a part of the journey of giving. May it be a part of our discipleship as we seek to grow in our knowledge, love, and service towards God. Amen.
Well, friends, thank you for sharing this time with us. I hope something that you heard today might have touched your heart. The songs, the prayers, the scripture, and who knows, maybe even part of the message. If you think of someone that needs to hear this message, please share it with them, or better yet, invite them to church with you. Our church is starting to open up again, and things are happening. Keep an eye on the screen for the announcements of things that are going on in our church. Thank you for being with us. And now, children of God, go from this place knowing that the God who made you also sustains you. The God who calls you also goes with you. The God who loved you before you were born still loves you today and into all the tomorrows. Go in peace to love and serve. Remember to listen for God's call. And remember, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.